This is Takedown. Hello again, everybody. I'm Scott Casburn for the Des Moines Area Sports Commission, Greater Des Moines Convention and Visitors Bureau, the home of the 2013 NCAA Wrestling Championships. Again, we bring to you another exciting wrestling interview, one of those that has been so available to the wrestling community, both through his spoken word and through the written word. Is a man named Mike Chapman. He's considered as one of the nation's leading historians on the sport of wrestling. He is the founder of the Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute and Museum now in Waterloo, founded originally in Newton. He has been the Wrestling Writer of the Year 5 different times. His books number up to 23 now, with the newest, and that book is called Caddock: Walnuts Wrestling Wonder. To discuss that book and more is Mike Chapman. Mike, how are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing great. It's a little bit cold outside, but we expect that in the wintertime in Iowa, right?
Absolutely. And it's guys like Earl Caddock who took that type of mentality, that it's cold outside, but I'm going to get to work inside, and that kind of attitude. And that's how he wrangled his life together. I mean, this was a hard-nosed, a work-a-day kind of a guy that lived his life all the way through the war. And well, it's very evident through the book, Walnuts Wrestling Wonder, Caddock by Mike Chapman, published by Culture House, what kind of man he was. I mean, this is a guy that you write about that most people don't know about. Talk a bit about why you wrote the book to begin with, and then we'll talk about Caddock, who, you know, the man.
Well, Scott, everywhere I go the last 40 years, I also founded Win Magazine and the Dan Hodge Trophy, and so I give a lot of speeches around this country. And people say, why does Iowa have this great wrestling tradition? And I said, well, it harkens back to three men: Farmer Burns from Big Rock, Iowa, Frank Gotch from Humboldt, Iowa, and Earl Caddock from Walnut, Iowa. Now, for your listeners who are not sure where Walnut's at, Scott, it's on the east-western side of the state, about 35 miles due east of Omaha. It's a town of about 900 people. It's a beautiful little town. And Earl Caddock was born in 1888 outside of Huron, South Dakota, but he ended up living all of his formative years on a farm near Anita in Atlantic, Iowa. And he became a great amateur wrestler. He won 3 AAU national titles in 1914 and 1915. He was preparing for the 1916 Olympics, and then Farmer Burns and Frank Gotch found out about him. Gotch was already the retired undefeated heavyweight champion of pro wrestling, and they talked him into becoming a pro wrestler, Scott, and this is back in the days when pro wrestling was still a true athletic contest. And Caddock became heavyweight champion of the world by beating Joe Stecker, the current champion, in Omaha, Nebraska, in front of 10,000 fans. And when you read the book, you'll see how big professional wrestling was back then. They actually had 4 trainloads of people going from the Walnut Atlantic area over to Omaha to see the match. They had banners alongside the railroad cars saying Caddock. The match was billed as Nebraska versus Omaha for world supremacy, and Caddock won the match and became the heavyweight champion of the world. He was handsome, charismatic, articulate. He only weighed 188 pounds, Scott, so he wasn't a big man.
It wasn't big, was it?
Pardon?
For the time, was that considered big?
No, that was considered average for a heavyweight. Gotch was about 205. George Hackenschmidt, the Russian Lion, was about 220. Stanislaus Sobieski was about 240, but Caddock had a tremendous wrestling background and just a natural affinity for wrestling. Farmer Burns said, pound for pound, he's the most natural wrestler I ever saw. And he became such a big factor in the state of Iowa for about a 10-year period, Scott, that Sec Taylor, the legendary sports editor of the Des Moines Register of the era, said he didn't see anybody capture the state's imagination like Earl Caddock, except for 2 other athletes, Niall Kinnick and Frank Gotch. So that's putting him in pretty big company.
Yeah, exceedingly good company. And just looking at the foreword of the book, who's also an author and historian, Nat Fleischer, he called Caddock an inspiration to the youth of America. And I'm reading now, it says, during his entire career, he exemplified the best in American sports tradition. And when the history of wrestling is written, I shall see that Earl Caddock's name goes up near the top for his wrestling ability. And on top is the man who has done most for the uplift of wrestling in this country. I know you put that at the beginning of your book, but now in your estimation, has that come true? It seems like it's almost as if he's been lost to the pages of time.
You're exactly right, Scott. And Matt Fleischer, who is the most respected boxing writer of all time, wrote that in the 1930s. And he was true to his word. He wrote a book called Milo de Landos, which is a classic book on the history of wrestling, sitting right here in my library. I refer to it a lot. And he did say Caddock was probably the best pure wrestler I ever saw. He thinks Gotch had the biggest impact on the sport overall, but that Caddock stood shoulder to shoulder with Gotch. And then as the years go by, Scott, and pro wrestling fell into ill repute and other sports came to the forefront, Earl Caddock's just been forgotten. And he lays today buried on a gently sloping hillside in Walnut, Iowa. Walnut's pretty well forgotten about him. So I stopped and talked to the mayor one day and said, you know, a lot of great athletes are being recognized by their communities. Niall Kinnick's trying to put up a museum now in Adale. Humboldt just put up a Frank Gotch, is putting up a Frank Gotch statue July 4th. Bob Feller has his own museum. I think it's time that this town of Walnut recognizes that one of the foremost athletes in the early part of the American 20th century was from Walnut, Iowa. And the mayor, Gene Larson, jumped right on it and said, absolutely, Mike, and we're behind this project all the way. So the result is this book, Scott, and I think there's talk of naming a street in Walnut after him, and I think they're going to have some kind of an Earl Caddock Day this summer now in Walnut. So it's just a way to pay tribute to, he was a Christian, he was a businessman, he was a family man. He fought in World War One and suffered lung damage from gas attacks, Scott.
So well, you talk about the gas attacks in the book, and you mentioned mustard gas, and this was a highly frowned upon practice even back in the First World War, let alone the Second World War. Gas was considered inhumane and something that we should not do to each other. But yet they experimented with gas, and he obviously was one of those that was the recipient of some of that gas, was he not?
Yes, he was, and he never really talked about it, so we don't know the extent of it. Like so many, he was a doughboy. He trained right there at Camp Dodge, just north of where you're at, and he wouldn't talk about the war experience much when he came back. But there is a quote in the book that I found that some of his friends said that when he came back, he would cough and black saliva would come up. And if people have a chance to see the movie The War Horse, which is fabulous, it's out right now, there's about a 10-minute scene near the end of it that shows what World War One was like and a mustard gas attack. And the minute I was watching that, Scott, I was thinking of Earl Caddock.
It's amazing that something that contemporary, as in the motion picture you're speaking of, could reach back to the pages of time. We're talking with Mike Chapman. He's the author of Caddock, Walnuts Wrestling Wonder. It's a book that's now available from Culture House. At the peak of his sports career, he enlisted as an infantryman, a doughboy, if you will, during World War One, and then returned home after the war to make his life on the streets of Walnut, Iowa. Walnut, Iowa, for those of you that do not know, Walnut, Iowa, it's an antiquing capital. It's easy to get to. It's very much like you would picture Iowa to be, a small town in Iowa. Well, if you look at this book and read the history of this book, there's also some incredible photographs of the home, of the business where he made his life. And it's highly indicative of the small town Iowa life. And it was so for he, it was so for Farmer Burns, and it was the same way for Frank Gotch, wasn't it, Mike?
It sure was, Scott. Wrestling in those days was a rural sport, and farm work was hard and tough, and the people that did it gravitated towards sports like wrestling, and most of our great wrestlers of the early 20th century came off farms and lived in small rural communities, and that's the legacy of this great sport that we celebrate here in the state of Iowa, and that you do such a great job promoting with Takedown Wrestling Radio. And, Scott, people like Earl Caddock and Frank Gotch and Farmer Burns need to be remembered.
They absolutely do. Our guest, Mike Chapman, he's one of the most acclaimed speakers on the sport of wrestling, on many other subjects, including Tarzan, one of my favorite topics. And I noticed, by the way, one of your friends, Denny Miller, is no longer the Gorton's Fisherman. What happened?
Well, Denny retired. He played that role for 15 years, and Denny's now in his mid-70s. And he started out as a basketball player for Johnny Wooden at UCLA in the 1950s, then played Tarzan in the movies in 1959, and has had a long, great career. In fact, I just got an email from him the other day. He lives in Las Vegas, and he said, "When are you coming back out to Vegas? We want you and Bev to come over for dinner."
Oh, man. Well, that'll certainly be a nice treat for both of you. And you've also recently had a great deal of success with a new publication called Iowa History Journal. I have the most recent edition, the January, February 2012 edition in my hand, featuring a cover story on Carol Morris and her remarkable journey, another famous person from Ottumwa, Iowa, to the role of being Miss Universe. She was very famous, wasn't she?
She really was. In 1956, in quick succession, she won Miss Iowa, Miss USA, and Miss Universe. She was a 20-year-old student at Drake at the time, Scott. She's from Ottumwa. Her father was a minister. She was an only child, and she skyrocketed to immense fame and was Miss Universe and starred in a couple of movies, and then said show business wasn't for her and retired to Texas, where she was married and became a mother and is now a grandmother. And it's just a great story, and we've heard a lot of comment out of the Ottumwa area. In fact, people can't find it. We're now on every Casey's in the state of Iowa, Iowa History Journal, and people can go in there, all 477 Casey's, and then in every Hy-V store.
And it's endorsed by the governor and all those folks here in Iowa that are so very proud of the state. Well, one of the reasons why they're proud of the state, it has great history. And, Mike, all the time you constantly bring up the history of our sport and the effect it's had on the landscape of the state. And Caddock is another one of those books that we insist that people get for their libraries. Walnuts Wrestling Wonder, it's Caddock, and it's a brand-new publication. You can follow his inspiring journey from small-town Iowa to world champion, as it was for him, as it was for Farmer Burns and Frank Gotch as well. Well, hopefully they will realize the same dream that they're realizing in Humboldt, and that is the erection of a statue and the great memory to the great Frank Gotch that will be done this summer. I believe that's July. Is that right, Mike?
July 4th is the date set for the unveiling, and you're invited, Scott. They really appreciated you coming up for our big event May 22nd. You and Tom Brands and Brad Reingans and Baron von Raschke and Bill Smith, Olympic champ 1952, and you were a big part of that, Scott, and people up there are very appreciative of your support. So they're looking forward to seeing you July 4th in Humboldt, Iowa, when we have the unveiling of the Frank Gotch statue.
I think my producers, Truman Groves and Sean Van Lehman, both were rather impressed with their interview with Baron von Raschke.
Baron does a great job. You put a microphone in front of him, and he's immediately transformed into another human being.
Yeah, he absolutely is in a different time as well. Mike Chapman, tell people how they can get a hold of the book and how they can get a hold of you for speaking engagements and things of this nature.
Thanks, Scott. I have two websites they can look at. One is my personal one, www.mike-chapman.com, mike-chapman.com, and they can go to the website of iowahistoryjournal.com, and both of them have information on the magazine, the book Earl Caddock, and on my speaking engagements.
And there's pictures in the book you'll see nowhere else, by the way. Mike Chapman, always good to talk with you. My best to Bev and a happy new year. And thanks again for the incredible new book, Caddock, Walnuts Wrestling Wonder. It's outstanding. It's inspirational. It helps us keep our history alive as we reach down to the very roots of wrestling. Thanks, Mike.
Well put, as we reach into the roots. And thanks for all you do for wrestling, too, Scott. It's much appreciated by a great many people.
For all of us at Takedown, I'm Scott Casper. This has been a special one-on-one with the author, historian Mike Chapman.